Blog Talk Radio.
This is Janine, and you are listening to Lunch with Loudon. After many different technical difficulties in trying to get into Blog Talk today, I hope you can hear me. Loki, am I with you?
You are loud and clear.
Great, great, great. Mic check at any point. Oh, I'm trying to settle myself. I tried six different ways to get in, and I guess the moon and the stars and the sun did not align, but I'm with you now on this gray and wonderful day from the Oregon Coast Range, and so happy you're on the line and that you're my co-pilot, Loki. I was thinking you were going to do this show by yourself today.
Well, that would have been scary, but we would have got it done.
Exactly. The show must go on. So, everybody, hello. This is Janine, and you're listening to Lunch with Loudon. Coffee Party Internet Radio is a part of the Be the Media project. In addition to Facebook and Twitter and Scoop It and the Mighty Web, 7 days of Coffee Party Internet Radio broadcasts also available to stream not on the day. My big announcement, other than I finally made it into Blog Talk today, is that Lunch with Loudon is sharing Thursdays this winter with two other great broadcasts. So we won't be here every week, but someone will be here every week. Katie Lynn Molyneux, you might remember her as the former co-pilot with Lunch with Loudon, is now hosting a series called Living Room Conversations. And Mark Gilbert is hosting a monthly broadcast called The Conscious Bridge. You can learn more about the Thursday shows as well as the other 6 days worth of Coffee Party Internet Radio at www.coffeepartyusa.com and click the banner where it says Radio Shows. And if you'd like to be on our team, go to www.coffeepartyusa.com/volunteer. Be the media. So, as I said, I'm here today with Lo King. He's going to watch the phone lines, monitor chat, and chime in, as opposed to do the entire show by himself, which he feared a moment ago. So thanks for being here today, Lo King.
Not a problem, and I just want to welcome everybody that is actually listening to us. I'm here. I'm feisty. I've got my coffee. I've got my soapbox. So I am ready. We're going to have a lot of fun. And if you would actually like to join in on the conversation and join us in the debate or just have questions or comments, you can always call in at 646-929-2495. That's 646-929-2495.
Excellent. Don't forget to raise, to press 1 if you want to raise your digital hand, because some people just listen to the show on the telephone and others call to chime in. And so if you want to have your say, press 1.
I've got a rant to go on, so you're going to want to press that number 1 and raise your hand.
Well, listen, as we start today, I decided I wanted to start today's broadcast with a poem. I found it as a comment on a post on the Join the Coffee Party Movement Facebook page. I posted an article related to our topic today, and the poet could see the relationship between his work, which is the concept, between the concept of manufactured outrage and the human struggle for clarity and wisdom. Those are my words. That's how I described it. So, without further ado, we'll spend a minute in our poetry room.
Hello, my name is Christopher Allen Breidinger, otherwise known as Poet Christopher. Thank you for allowing me to come on your radio show today and read my poem. This poem is from my book that was just recently published called Poet Christopher's Myths, Methods, and Golden Messages, which you can find on Amazon or through my publisher, Creative Talents Unleashed. And without further ado, here's my poem. Romanticizing. It's quite amazing, the orchestrating of mind invading, indoctrinating, whitewash braining, subliminal training, thought restraining, incorporating. Am I instigating? No, I'm litigating. The fascinating, facilitating of reinstating the love we're wasting, though exasperating, I'm a hopeful, waiting.
So, this poem became even more perfect because when I first scheduled this broadcast, the window of opportunity to sort of discuss the notion of manufactured outrage was the season kickoff of the annual War on Christmas campaign. I got to calm down after almost not making it. But so here's the deal. So much more has happened. And Christopher's thoughtfulness on this issue, the swirl, the spin, the enticement, trying to ground ourselves. Are we a part of the problem? Are we outside the problem? Was very, very interesting to me. Because I'm sure you recall that the Starbucks Holiday Cup, source of outrage that sort of spawned this show, did not meet the needs of some self-promoting blowhard who knew he could have an audience for his rant, regardless of its merit. So, Starbucks brings out a red cup, and all of a sudden the guy shoots a YouTube and upsets the world with its with this kickoff to the war on Christmas. The ugliness of the moment for me was the number of people ready to be activated to hubris and to shaming by the color of a cup. The beauty of the moment was how people responded with humor or thoughtfulness. Thoughtfulness, certainly, like Christopher's poem, but the humor really got to me as well. I love the rainbow cup. I love the Hanukkah cup. I love the funny names people wrote on there. My personal favorites were Bah Humbug, Latte for Mr. Humbug, and then the Keep the Holy and Holidays cup. I don't know if you saw those images. But, a lot of people just said, oh, my gosh, this is such a stretch. And I'm happy to discuss that now, the non-event in a few minutes. But first, I just have to say that between the day this broadcast is posted and today, the The world experienced a series of terrorist events conducted by ISIL, or as we like to call them, Daesh. On November 12th, there was a suicide bomber in Beirut. 43 were killed, 239 injured. Just hours later, on the morning of November 13th, there was a funeral suicide bomber in Baghdad. There were 18 killed and 41 wounded. The evening of the same day, November 3rd, in Paris, the attacks up and down the streets of Paris, 124 or more dead, 240 or more wounded. And then just days later, it was officially announced that the October 31st Metro bus headed for Russia from Egypt, the crash of that Metro bus was an act of terrorism, with 224 dead and no wounded. So to add to the irony, you know, because it's my business to know these things, I happen to know that November 13th is World Kindness Day. So all of wrapped on both sides of World Kindness Day were these atrocities. And ironically, again, the purpose statement for World Kindness Day is helping others can restore our sense of humanity. Helping others can restore our sense of humanity. But a restored sense of humanity was not on the agenda for the masters of manufactured outrage, or maybe you like to call it spin, those who would reduce us to tribes for their own purposes, those who are intent on dividing and not uniting families, friends, cities, states, or countries, they launched their game immediately. So as crazy as we thought the war on Christmas red Starbucks cup was, that just morphed over to more vitriol. It's not to say that there's no reason for outrage, the real kind. But as the New York Times opinion by Frank Bruni said in his piece, The Exploitation of Paris, he was outraged by what he called the automatic, indiscriminate polarization of tragedy, a disrespectful impulse and an ugly impulse. And I just thought that was an amazingly short, sweet, and to-the-point description of what manufactured outrage is. So there were examples all over the place. I'm just going to start a couple, and I don't know, Loki, where your rant fits in here, but any point where you feel like your rant has the right launching pad, you just let me know, and we'll
you go for. Well, you know, I may go on to that here in just a second, see if I can spark up some listeners to actually call in and debate with us and have calm conversations over this. So, you know, whenever you're ready for me to step up on my soapbox, I am willing to do that. I've already received a whole bunch of interesting emails from when I spoke these words on a previous show, so I'm willing to take on a whole bunch more.
Excellent. Well, let me lay a little bit more groundwork, and then we'll go for it. So here's a few examples. So an extreme right-wing pundit said, too bad there's no concealed carry permits anywhere in Europe. Not since 1818. Like tragedy, terrorism, and somehow we now morph into their pet issue. From the extreme left, you hear stuff like, if you really cared about the victims of terrorism, you would have painted your Facebook face with the Syrian flag or the Iraqi flag or the Russian flag. Shame, shame, shame. No shame in us mocking us, encouraging us to mock one another. It's the whole point of this particular flavor of spin, this manufactured outrage, this why I'm better than you kind of conversation. So as Mr. Bruni pointed out in his op-ed, the tragedy became political theater, attacking immigration generally and the refugee victims of Daesh specifically. So somehow we morphed from a crashed airplane and people being shot while they sat at their restaurant table to an anti-immigration, bandwagon, I'll use that one for now. One presidential hopeful called refugees a Trojan horse. a Twitter post that went viral explained that if only 10 of 10,000 refugees were terrorists, it would be wrong to let the 10,000 into the country. By the way, one response to his post was not well received. It asked the question, if you sold 10,000 assault rifles and only 10 were used in mass killings, should you have sold the 10,000? You know, because what you and I know is that way more people are killed in mass shootings here every year than have been killed by terrorists. I'm not even sure September 11th is an exception. So, you know, the craziness abounds. And by the way, that one morphed into 31 governors that have stepped into the anti-refugee tidal wave. My question is this, Purple, or to anyone who's looking at this pontification of anti-refugee sentiment. How many citizens are represented by those 31 governors? I couldn't find the info, and I didn't have the time to calculate it, although I guess I could. I certainly could have. I didn't have the time. But, you know, when I see maps with a whole bunch of red through the middle of the country, I don't say, look at all those people. I say, I mean, with all due respect, look at all that dirt. There are more cows than people in some of those states. And I promise you, as someone who has driven from shore to shore many times, there's a whole lot of that red with nobody living there. And so I really hate it when you see the itty-bitty state of New York in one color and the great abyss that holds the oceans apart red. You know, they don't even begin to match up in numbers. You know, and as always, the other examples are the extremes to the left or to the right take full advantage of any upset in the country or in the world to blame the current president for something. Too much of something, not enough of something. I mean, that's so prolific. I don't even vet this stuff anymore. It's like I don't waste my time with it anymore. He's short. I agree with him on some things. I don't agree with him on other things. He's not going to be here long. I don't even waste my time with all that stuff. If I see it in an article, I delete it and it's gone. But yes, you know, we should expect political theater in an election year. The so-called debates, which, you know, last show we decided to call infomercials, are riddled with oversimplifications and buzzwords and dog whistle words and shaming and divisive comments. Even when someone tries to put out something worth discussing, it doesn't take long for it to devolve to, I'm just going to mention quickly that I read an article this week that described common thinking errors. You know, there's websites like that, and you can go see people have discussions about issues like how do we get led astray in our thinking. And you know, I'll just summarize. There's black and white thinking. There's unreal ideals. There's filtering, personalization, mind reading, where we know what other people must really mean as opposed to what they say. Exaggerating, overgeneralizing, the fact versus feeling, dichotomy, labeling, I can't stand it, itis. I mean, there's all those things. You know, I can give you the one-word description, and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. How we are so hair-triggered to jump and take sides. Every issue had a right and a wrong. So every issue had a black and a white. So every issue, if that guy agrees with me, then I agree with him on everything. If she thinks that way, I will never agree with her. And it is a human tendency. It is what the human animal does. But it seems like our time here on Earth is about transcending what the human animal is and to be more or to be self-aware and self-reflecting on what it is that's running our lives, whether it's what we eat for breakfast, who we vote for president, or how we respond to a tragedy on the other side of a very big ocean. So, I just wanted to mention really quickly that all the articles that we're going to reference today either are already on the Lunch with Auden Facebook page or will be after the broadcast if something comes up that isn't there already. And so you can always go there for more information or the details about any of these stories that we reference. So call us. Tell us what is manufactured outrage, how it's different from outrage, pure and simple. What do you do to not be sucked into common thinking errors? And how do you prevent facts from being created into spin? I think that's your opening, Loki. What do you think?
Well, that works. But I do want to, we've been throwing around, or words have been thrown around that people may not know, like the word dash. Dash is actually a Arabic word in its own right, rather than an acronym, meaning a group of bigots who impose their will on others, that it can be differently conjugated to mean either the phrase above or to trample and crush. We're going to go into my little rant. I had to get my soapbox in the right position for me to, so that I didn't fall off of it. When I first saw this outrage over the cup, I actually don't watch very much mainstream TV because they don't always report the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. But I was actually watching today's show when I saw this outrage of the Starbucks cup come on. And just because they're redesigning their holiday cup, why are people so far up in arms over the change? Like, really up in arms. As in, folks are furious that it actually hit the national news. Seriously? It's a cup. I guess these stiffs are angry because they feel that this year's cup doesn't accurately represent the holiday season. Gone are the snowflakes, the snowmen, the mistletoe from years past, and in its place, a simple red cup with a green Starbucks logo. As the result, Starbucks now stands accused of waging war on Christmas. Seriously, this is a problem, folks. We have other things to worry about. We've got ISIS planting bombs on passenger planes, children's being sold into sex slaveries, millions of Syrian refugees wondering where their next meal will come from, and folks are screaming over a flipping cup. If that isn't absurd, I don't know what is. Why you would be going to Starbucks in the first place, I don't know, because they do use underage workers to do a lot of their stuff for them, but that's my own personal opinion. Now tell me something. How does this even start to compare to the real problems we face? Like the single mother who struggles to put food on her table, or the grief-stricken father who's losing his son to cancer. There is absolutely no comparison. And it's only because your life is so blessed and carefree that you even have the luxury of getting your Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer knickers in a twist over something so petty. So Starbucks redesigned their cup with a minimalist theme. So what? It's not a war on Christmas. It's not an assault on your belief system or an attack on the traditional values. It's a cup, plain and simple. So here are some thoughts for you. Instead of trying to change the cup, be thankful that you can afford the cup. Trust me, the fact that you're even standing in line at Starbucks means you have a pretty darn good life. So focus on, instead, life is way too short to get your panties in a wad over something so petty and insignificant. So now that we're clear, won't you join me for a cup of Starbucks coffee? with a side of holiday cheer. I certainly hope so. Oh, and don't forget to bring your shiny red cup. Now, we do have so many problems right now in this nation that we need to be worrying about. We have 1 in 4 children statistically that go to bed hungry every single night because they don't have the food. We have homeless veterans sleeping out on the streets that served our country to protect our freedoms, our liberties, and our rights to pursue happiness. And we're worried about a cup? Seriously? Come on. I mean, we have this whole refugee issue of, are we going to let the refugees in? Are we not? I personally have my own personal opinions on that. They may need to be in a safer spot, but are we actually bringing them to a better place? Our country right now is so upside down economically and everything else. Is it right, to have them come here? They're going to be labeled. They're going to be chastised. They're going to be whatever. But I've said it on previous shows, and I'll say it again. At some point, we need to stop worrying about the small stuff. There's that statement out there, and it's a wonderful book. I've actually read it that says, don't sweat the small stuff because it's all small stuff.
Yes.
That's,
yes, it is.
Yeah. You know, this manufactured Christmas holiday thing is absurd. There's other things that we actually need to be worrying about.
Lucky, I could not agree with you more. I think that's part of what made this one almost funny. If it hadn't had such a fervor, it might have just been a blip on your radar or on mine. You know, it's like for example, you brought up hungry kids, and the difference between being able to spend $5 for a cup of coffee versus, you know, the fact that 1 in 4 kids goes to bed hungry is like, hello. If you want to talk about, apples and oranges, they're not the same, but it's like, what are you worrying? You know, why even go to this place? Why go to the Red Cup conspiracy when there are real problems? You may not know this, Loki, but Oregon has the highest food insecurity rating in America. We have more hungry people per capita than any other state. And we also have over 1,000 kids. Last year I read it was 1,200. I think it's more like 1,500 or 1,600 this year, but my facts are, 9 months old. But, so 1,500 kids, let's say, enrolled in public school who do not have an address. And those parents who are living in shelters and living in cars and doing whatever they do can get by love their kids enough to get them to school, love their kids enough to make sure they get a school lunch and maybe even a school breakfast, And so compared to the Red Cup conspiracy, it seems like looking at what decent people are trying to do or having to do to make sure that their kids have any chance in life, way more important and, frankly, way more seasonal. In theory, if it were really a Christian nation, but even a respectful nation, this is the time of year where we reflect, right? We give thanks. We sort of muster our generosity, both inwardly and outwardly. And I don't see that happen when malarkey like this comes up, especially because, the same pundit that said, hey, if everybody in Paris had a gun, then this wouldn't have happened. She also is the one to jump on the conspiracy of the Red Cup. That must mean something, And we have people out there whose entire livelihoods depend upon kind of riling up the mad dog masses so that they become important and tweeted and retweeted and quoted, and you notice I didn't use any of their names because I don't care who they are, and I won't, you know, even bad publicity is publicity, so I don't say their name. So that's what I hear you talking about. It's like, get over the cup, move on. Let's go to the next thing. What's actually real in your life? And I guess the last thing I want to say right now is that I read a post today about how Thanksgiving was the biggest casualty of the war on Christmas. Because before we could even pause and be thankful as a nation or as a family or as a community, you know, this mischief had already started. And I thought that was an interesting perspective, how they felt robbed of a holiday that meant a lot, involved their participation in, you know, feeding the poor and bringing family together and all the things that we like to think of ourselves. You know, when you see the magazine art about the American family or the American dream, out the window for a cup.
Yeah, and I mean, if you look at it, we are going backwards with our morals, with the respect. When I was younger, you know, I remember you didn't start seeing Christmas items or even hearing Christmas music until after Thanksgiving, till the day after Thanksgiving. Anymore, you start hearing it, it seems like, or start seeing it, it seems like, in the middle of July. We're forgetting that the true meaning of what Christmas, Thanksgiving, and everything else is. We're so focused on got to have it now, got to be popular for 15, 20 minutes until the next silly, stupid crisis comes along so I can jump on that bandwagon. You know, let's start forgetting the self-serving attitudes and start looking at what our nation is all about. I mean, people are getting upset that people are burning the flag. Yes, the flag has a significant meaning if you truly look at it. But those people that are getting upset, the flag being burnt, you know, how many of them have actually been handed a folded flag from a military funeral or whatever? You know, if you really start taking a look and we get back to the basics of things and you start digging into the past and our actual history, things like a red cup, things like, you know, the marriage issue with gays, these are all things that you don't need to be worrying about. Let's take a look at the serious and real issues that we have going on. And that's what Coffee Party USA Radio Network is all about. That's why I do a lot of the radio shows that I do and that I'm involved in, is I want to get us back to the point of our children understand the true meaning and history of our nation instead of, you know, 1 + 1 now means you have a red horse or a green horse on the other side of the fence. I don't know where our education system is going anymore. You know, we're focusing on way too many things that we don't need to be focused on instead of what really needs to be dealt with.
Well, you used a term that I love, you know, what we do instead of, right? What we do instead of is, to me, a very telling comment because, so first of all, it assumes some level of luxury or leisure. You know, you actually have the leisure to do something instead of deal with the realities of the situation. And part of that can be, sometimes it's hard to get to the reality because all these smoke and mirror guys, the spin doctors, and frankly, this is all the whole manufactured outrage thing. It's really just a manufacturing of marketing tool. You know, you can take this marketing equation, you know, take an issue, add you know, I don't know if you did science, but, you know, like you got this, here's a substance, little triangle, which is like, says like add heat or add oxygen or, you know, add whatever. And all you have to do is add snark and an issue plus a position in life. Don't even have to be related, but if you add enough snark, you somehow link them, right? So somehow a red cup got linked to someone's perception that even though they're the majority religion on the planet, that a third of the people on the planet are supposedly Christian, that there's some war on Christianity. Really? You know? Instead of noticing there are hungry kids at school, instead of asking yourself, why are my taxes so high and the corporate taxes so low? Why are my taxes so high and the taxes on the wealthy so low? Instead of asking why are elected officials voted against the best interests of the state or against my personal best interests, you know, instead of doing the hard work of sort of vetting, you know, seeking the truth in the midst of all that frivolous word after word after word after word after word and sentence and paragraph and blog post. I mean, I saw one blog post that was about how the entire Paris massacre was fake. And they showed pictures of injured people and described the moulage that you would use to make this injury. You know, so, I mean, there are people out there. We have freedom of expression. We have freedom of thought. You can think these things. But, man, I can't go there. I can't live in a tinfoil hat world, and I can't live in a conspiracy theory world. Not that there aren't conspiracies, and not that a tinfoil hat might not do you some good in some situations. No idea. But what I do know is that right here, right now, in front of me, in ways that I can understand if I will only take a look, are things needing my attention. And
if you look at it, these people that are propagating the, oh, this is a false flag, Paris was a false flag, they even tried it with the tragedy we had here in Oregon with the shooting down at UCC. People from other states either jumping on the bandwagon because they don't even live in the state or don't even live in the country are trying to say it's false, or they are trying to take advantage of it and get personal gain from it. You know, it goes back to let's have common sense, let's have respect, and let's put forth a little bit of effort to make sure what we are stating and everything else is truly real. Do the simple things. Do your research. Ask a lot of questions. There's no such thing as a stupid question, by far. Take the time to do it. And if your life is so centered around simple objects of the snowflake or the mistletoe or snowfall or snowman on a cup is the center of your religion and your belief system, you've got a serious problem. Because as far as I know, I believed the Christian faith for a long time. That wasn't the true meaning of Christmas. That wasn't the true meaning of how our society was set up to believe in. You know, our belief systems, and it's been tough because people aren't questioning or they're thinking to themselves, oh, there's nothing I can do about it, so why bother? Well, one, there is a lot you can do with it, and it's simple things like writing letters, being responsible when you look at a post and questioning the post, whether it's real or not, and doing the simple things as asking questions. Now, if you're asking questions on a post that you don't know if it's real or not, guess what? I found the easiest way for me to figure that out is if I start asking questions and it starts getting real, nine times out of ten, those people are going to block me from their page because I am now putting holes in their theory, and I'm not being just a blind follower of what they're saying. When that happens, you know, hey, it's a false flag. I don't need to go down that trail. Let's go find the truth. It's as simple as that. I mean, simple phone calls, simple postcards, whatever it takes. Just take the time, get away from it's all about me, and let's start taking a serious look at what is really going on.
Oh, exactly, exactly. You know, sometimes, Loki, I've experienced that if you just take a breath, right, you hear something, you see something, you read something, and you just take a breath and ask yourself a few questions, a lot of things just loses its juice. And so an example for me is that I thought to myself, when I saw the big deal about the red cup, I thought, well, what were the past cups like? Because I don't remember them being particularly religious. And you do a little bit of your homework, and you go, oh, gosh, they had Rudolph, or I think you mentioned snowflakes. There's been a snowflake cup. But the point is, the war on Christmas guys as a tribe, they're upset is that we forget about Jesus, and we go to Santa or Rudolph or whatever. So according to that logic, this guy should have been mad every year about every Starbucks holiday card or winter cup or whatever you want to call it that they've ever had. So what's different now? Well, this guy's got a camcorder, apparently. That's made a difference. But he also knew how to use that human tendency to jump in, you know, without thinking. And another one is when this pundit made the open carry comment about what had happened in Paris, right? I went and looked to see if she had ever said anything about, well, if there'd been open carry in Beirut, duh. If there'd been open carry in Baghdad, duh. No, no worries questioning that. And interestingly enough, the fact that so many people have weapons doesn't seem to change the face of terrorism too much. Doesn't seem to change it. And so why would she say something about Paris and guns and not say something about Beirut and guns or Baghdad and guns? Well, because it's a bunch of look. And, okay, so I get to check that one off my list now. Not that I shouldn't look, but so much stuff now, you know, you're familiar with the term clickbait. It's meant to trigger something in you, something that the marketeers understand very well about the human animal. And the number of the statistics now, we watch statistics with our Facebook page, for example, but we can confirm them in the social media literature, which is most people that like a story never link to the story. And more people that are critical of the post have never linked to the, you know, have never actually clicked the link and gone to the story. So we have people out there just pontificating about an article that they've never read, and they totally judge by the headline and the image. And so I certainly, and maybe you've seen this too, is where you see something and you click through, and it's almost like the story's almost not even anything about the headline or the image, but they got their click.
Yeah, I mean, I've clicked on a couple of them that the article title or whatever else caught my interest, you know, sparked a little bit of outrage or whatever else in me. And then I've actually clicked and went to the article. And when you start reading the article, it actually has nothing to do with the title of the story. The title of the story is what they're hoping you look at and get outraged about. But when you go to this article, you know, it's about puppy dogs and cats instead of, you know, we need to ban guns or whatever.
Right. Or it might be, you know, 10 words. I mean, the ones that really weird me out are like, you know, 10 or 15 words, two-sentence paragraphs. And really all they wanted was your click, because then their advertisers see the clicks that come through. But the truth is, most people who like or share it didn't go there anyway.
Right.
You know? And so those of us who are sort of in a social media environment, I think it's important for us to know that, you know, and it's true in Twitter, it's true in a lot of things. People will share something based on who said it or lead in and never click through to the article that's being tweeted about. And so that's crazy making. Now, the folks that aren't in social media, and certainly people involved in social media are way outnumbered by people who are not, they still have their, you know, opportunities through radio and television and other social interactions to be activated by the same thing. But what I blame or credit social media with is the fact that it can create enough of the buzz. You know, it can create a big enough buzz that it spills outside itself to radio, to TV. I mean, television, as you remarked, only covered that red cup because social media had gone crazy with it. Not because it was a good story. Not because it really meant anything. No one was drawing conclusions that it meant anything. They were merely reporting on the social media buzz about the red cup. And wow,
right.
There's news.
Well, I mean, if you even look at it, you know, take the other look at it, media, mainstream media, goes for ratings. Where can they get the most bang for their buck? Where can they get people upset? Going back to a lot of the outrageous tragedies of the shootings, you know, people are all up in arms about let's ban guns, guns are a problem. But yet you still have, I know right after the local shooting we had here in Oregon with UCC, within a couple of days, there was the tragedy that happened in Pennsylvania where 22 students were either hurt or killed by somebody that had a knife. But there was no outrage of let's ban knives. But you know, the media, unfortunately, in my personal opinion, and you can send me all the hate mail you want, my personal opinion, the media right now is being paid, mainstream media is being paid off by the corporations. They want to get the ratings to make people afraid. It's the alternative media, like Coffee Party USA Radio Network and other shows that I'm involved with and everything else, that will actually sit down, realistically, do the research, find the truth, and report that. If you want to know the truth, you need to be listening to shows like this. Janine does a wonderful job with Lunch with Loudon. But it's this stuff that you need to be paying attention to. You know, we have mainstream media networks that have actually won lawsuits that says they can actually lie to you. Now, the difference between us and mainstream media is nobody in the Coffee Party USA Radio Network or Coffee Party USA organization, period, are getting paid. Most everybody that I know of are volunteers. We spend our time doing this because we believe in finding the truth. We believe in returning the nation to what it should be and instead of a mockery.
I couldn't agree more that with the exception of a few dollars per month spent with professionals that do things we can't do, everyone in Coffee Party USA is a volunteer. And so we definitely have this clear mission in mind, which is to, at least certainly within the Be the Media Project, is to share information in such a way that we can use the tool of civility and the strategy of reason to come to some kind of, or add a depth to the conversation, right? So one of the things that's frustrating to me about all this, and probably why this appealed to me as a show, was that, okay, let's say there's a very serious conversation to be had about how many refugees any country can absorb at any time for any reason, right? And there are tactics and strategies and probably even algorithms out there for what kind of an economy can offer what kind of assistance to people who are quite literally fleeing for their lives. And then there's a risk-to-benefit analysis of that. I spent my entire professional career in one area or another of risk management. So I want to have a very honest and candid conversation, factual-based, or people either people doing the research to create the facts or people researching the research to dig out the facts about the pros and cons of bringing refugees to our country. And I think that that's a very serious and meaningful conversation. And instead, we get grandstanding. And instead, we get Muslim haters. Or instead, we get, you know what I mean? So this is what we do. I used the phrase earlier, instead of. This is what we do instead of. And I think our job as citizens right now and the job of our elected is to actually have the meaningful conversation that answers the question like, if there's 10,000 refugees and 10 of them are questionable, do you look for the 10 or do you let none of them in? I mean, that's a serious and meaningful conversation. It is not a conversation to preach to me about Islam as a religion of hate. Mm-hmm. I know it's not true. I don't think anyone has ever known Muslims or had Muslim friends think it's true, you know, but it's such a popular thing to say, and it's a thoughtless thing to say. And I commented back on one of those sites the other day. I said, wait, we're pretty much all the Nazis Christians, you know? And I got blasted yeah. 6 ways from Sunday. But it was true. They were Christians. You know, maybe this guy, that guy, or the other guy wasn't, but the people of Germany, there was Christian, and they did terrible things. What they did as Christian values. You have to point to what happened in Nazi Germany, looking all the way back to World War One, and seeing what it took. You know, the world was so mad at Germany, they didn't care if every German starved to death, and what that country had to do to survive and then later thrive. There's a whole science in there. There's a whole social science in there. And to dip your toe in the pool of vitriol about Islam and then say you think you know anything about it is just hubris. And it's not helpful. It doesn't help American citizens do their job, which is to thoughtfully share what they know with one another and come up with something. You know, the failure is not an option thing that we saw in the Apollo 13 movie. It's so true. In every day, failure with our children in school is not an option. Homeless people starving to death in their cars is not an option. Terrorism gone rampant in our country is not an option. You know, so what it takes is us bringing our differences to the table and having the creative tension that happens when people don't agree and coming up with something, a greater truth, a greater understanding than anybody brought to the table individually. That we walk away with something more than the sum of what came to the table in the first place. That is American ingenuity. That is magical, I swear. And it has a power unto itself. And the thing that gives it power is the process. What one has to do to come to that table in the first place, knowing you're not going to run the show, you're going to be a part of it. And you're going to play your role, not own it. Not manipulate it, not capitalize upon it, not create opportunity from it, but actually be a part of that group that says failure is not an option. So, sorry about my rant, but I really see that as a thing that America has always been able to contribute to itself and to the world when it can see past its own, what it's doing instead of being that kind of an American. Right? And that's what I think all this spin is about. They're keeping us away from the table because they know the problem will be solved, and it may not be solved in a way that serves the interests of that very few people who really think that they have the right to be in charge. End of rant.
Exactly. Well, we're coming close to the end of the show here. Hopefully we get a lot of hits and a lot of questions going on the archived portion of the show or the Facebook pages. But if you would like to actually become a member of the Coffee Party USA network, you can do so. And I believe November is the month of membership. But you can go to become a member at www.coffeepartyusa.com and click on the membership button there. And if you actually want to hear the truth and interact with people that are waking up to what is actually going on, you can catch a whole bunch of variety of different shows through the Coffee Party Radio Network. Sunday, we have I Take Liberty with My Coffee with your host, Bobby Rodrigo, as well as Mike Harris. Monday nights, you can actually catch the Tim Danahay Show. And his co-host, of course, will be Bobby Rodrigo. Tuesday night, you can actually catch me where I actually produce the show for a Muslim and a Catholic Wake Up in America with my good friends Issa Hodge and Common Cal. Wednesday, you can actually catch a Living Room Conversation. And sometimes you'll actually catch a Living Room Conversation on Thursdays. But that is actually done by Deborah Lynn. And I can actually never say her last name correctly. I'm glad you said that. Of course, Thursdays, you'll catch the wonderful lady on the other side of the mic and me today, Janine Loudon, and the co-host, me, of course. Yeah, we're going to actually be sharing this spot, I think, is what Janine is trying to holler at me here. Fridays, you can actually catch Joe Grumbine and Shauna Banda with A Cup of Joe. That is a very hot show to listen to. And then, of course, Saturdays, we have Politics Done Right by Egberto Willis.
Willis. Willis is Hispanic. Egberto Willis, he's from Panama.
So make sure you join in on the party and actually start waking up. And you can do such things as simply as writing your congressman, going out and questioning information on Facebook, because everything you see and hear on the internet is not, believe it or not, is not always the truth.
You're kidding.
No. I hate to burst your bubble, but not everything you see and hear. Yeah.
Right. If it's in print, it must be true. If it's on the TV, it must be true. If on the radio, it must be true. And if it's in social media, it must be true. So what a bunch of truth we have to wrangle here. Well, thank you so much, Loki. It's been a lot of fun. We can continue this conversation at the Lunch with Loudon Facebook page. Feel free to join that conversation, to comment. If you post, I'll repost for you. It's one of those kind of pages. And by all means, like our page and put us on your notifications, and we'll keep you posted about articles, stories, and images leading up to our next broadcast and comments about the broadcast that's just over. So thanks very much, everybody. Remember, Coffee Party USA is totally crowdfunded. No sugar daddies, no big corporate influence. Citizens United has not benefited us. So if you like what you hear today, if you like what you see in our social media presence, you can become a member or a donor by going to www.coffeepartyusa.com and hit the big red member button. As Lucy said earlier, November is member month, and thank you gift if you become an annual member or a sustaining member, a monthly member. But your donations and generosity in any way, shape, or form are always welcome. We're grassroots, we're volunteer, and we're funded by you. So thanks, everyone. It's been great. Loki, thanks for being here with me. I loved your rant, and I love your addition to this conversation.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me. I'm very humbled and honored to be sitting in the co-pilot seat with you.
Thanks a lot. Coffee party on, everyone.
Slow down. You move too fast. You got to make the